Good afternoon. I'm John Hart, the co-founder of C3 Solutions, the Conservative Coalition for Climate Solutions, and the editor of our news magazine, C3. Welcome to another edition of Right Voices, our video and podcast interview series, where we highlight conservative leaders and ideas in the climate debate. And today we're honored to be joined again by Representative Bruce Westerman, who's serving his fourth term as the representative of Arkansas's 4th Congressional District. The Congressman Westerman is an engineer and forester by trade, which makes him a unique expert in this field. And he serves on the committees of transportation and infrastructure. And he's also the ranking member of the Committee on Natural Resources. And he serves on the Minority Whip team under Steve Scalise. And he's a member of Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy's Energy, Climate, and Conservation Task Force. Congressman, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Good to be with you, John. Always good to visit. Talk about some issues that are near and dear to me and to a lot of your listeners, I hope.
You bet. Well, this is an exciting week, an exciting time. So the House GOP, Congressman McCarthy, he put a task force together last year. You're a prominent member of that. And just to be candid about the politics of where we are, you know, a lot of analysts and people on the right are pretty confident and feel good about the chances of the House GOP taking the majority. And you know, in many respects, why would the House even take the risk of rolling the dice on a climate plan when a lot of analysts think the GOP is going to waltz in the majority next year?
Well, I think it's because it's something that's important to a big cross-section of the American public. And let's face it, everybody wants clean air and clean water. We all breathe the air. We all drink the water. I think you get a large consensus of people who think we should be good stewards of the resources that we have. And really what we're proposing are common sense, actual plans to get from point A to point B. I think the America's realizing that these issues are much more complicated than the memes and the headlines and the talking points, that you actually have to have a plan in place to get to cleaner energy. And we know how to innovate in America, and that Congress's role should be to help the innovators solve the problems to provide us not just clean energy, but the two things that people are going to look at first and foremost, and that's, is it affordable energy and is it reliable energy? And when you look at the U.S. footprint on global climate and carbon, we're 15% or less of the global carbon emissions.
Right.
As countries like India and other countries develop, if we don't have the technology to produce energy in a way that's not only affordable and reliable, but clean, then we're going to see carbon emissions go up beyond anything we've experienced in the past. So that's how we can lead. But we can't just say, oh, we're going to go to all electric vehicles and that'll solve the problem. It's got to be, these are complicated issues, and they've got to have a well thought out plan in place. You've got to transition from one point to the next.
Yeah, and Congressman, maybe you could just briefly run through where the House GOP is right now in terms of releasing the plan. What has come out already and what's to come?
Now, we know Garrett Graves is leading that task force, and they put some information out. I was actually on the task force for healthcare, and we put some of the first information out on healthcare. And this is, we got multiple task forces that are looking at what we think are all the issues that we want to put into a commitment to America. So obviously we want to have this out well ahead of the election in November. And we want the American people to see that we actually have a plan. These aren't just wish list items, that we have a framework. And, you know, also as the ranking member on the Natural Resources Committee, I'll take a lot of the information from the framework and we'll actually develop legislation and text to back up the overall messages that we're trying to drive through the framework, which the task forces are putting together. So it's not only the task forces working, it's also the committees of jurisdiction where we're developing legislation to meet the objectives that we come up with in the task forces.
Yeah, and Congressman, I think it's noteworthy. Some of the context is important because you mentioned healthcare. And one of the points that I often make is, from my experience, I was Tom Coburn's longtime communications director. We had an alternative to Obamacare before Obamacare even came out. And there was an internal argument within the GOP and different camps. Some people said, no, let's just beat up on Obamacare. And others said, no, we have to lead with a plan and an agenda so that if we take the majority, then the country will have accepted, will have a mandate to implement a replace plan. So I think it's commendable. I just commend you and your leadership and what the minority leader is doing, because, again, it would be very easy to not take any political risk right now, but instead you're putting out an agenda that's detailed and specific. I guess, was there some internal discussion within the GOP? Anyone push back or maybe refer to these other battles as lessons learned on why it's so important to have an agenda that's positive and forward thinking?
We've got history on our side. We can look back and we can see the contract with America that Newt Gingrich and that bunch put together. And we know that was something that gave them some cohesion in the majority. This is as much about being able to stay together and on message in the majority and actually do things that that the American public expects us to do, as it is about any kind of a campaign message. We want to talk about these tough issues while we're in the minority. We want to come together with a plan that our caucus can get behind, so that when these items come to the floor, we don't have all the internal debates and discussions. We want to work those issues out ahead of time. Does that mean that we won't have any heated internal discussions? Well, you know we will, because this is Congress and it's the way it's supposed to work. But we're trying to figure out the big issues before we hit the ground running, if the American people allow us to be in the majority in the next Congress. And I can promise you, if that happens, it will happen quickly. We will have a plan where we're going, and we will be meeting in person. There will be no more proxy voting, and we'll be pushing these issues out quickly, getting them out there for debate.
Yeah, I think from the perspective of taxpayers and just people who want Congress to do the right thing, is everyone is elected to do the right thing today, not at some future point when it's more politically safe to do so. So again, it says a lot about your leadership and work that you've been leading the charge on this for so long. And you mentioned sort of the internal debates. One of the benefits we have as a think tank and an outside organization is we don't have to negotiate with other groups. We can just put out what we think is an agenda. And we actually did that today. Nick Loris, who I know you've met, he's our VP of public policy, but spent 13 years at Heritage. We have a climate and freedom agenda we've put out that amplifies and echoes a lot of the work the House is doing. And I think your name is in the index, I think 16 times. So you're one of the, and just multiple bills that you've done. So I think there's, and what that speaks to is it's Congress, but there's an entire ecosystem of groups that I think have changed the direction of the debate and are encouraging, members to educate the public on solutions. So I think that's a great step forward. There's a lot to be cynical about in politics. There's a lot of angst in the country, but this is one of the positive things I think that's happening.
Yeah, and I think people expect solutions. And I found, my background's in engineering, as you said earlier.
Right.
And I used to have to tell people, actually even my daughter who wanted to major in engineering, she said, Dad, what do engineers do? I said, well, they do a lot of stuff, but the main thing they do is they solve problems. And I've hired young engineers in my previous profession, and I would tell them, you're a glorified problem solver. You've got the tools to solve problems, and you've demonstrated that you've got the ability to solve problems. So if there's a problem out there, we need to figure out how to solve it and then implement it. The problem with politics is implementing the solutions. These aren't super difficult problems to solve. We've got very brilliant people in our country. We're constantly coming up with new innovations. We just have to turn those folks loose so that they can do the job and solve the problems that we have. But if we're bogged down in bureaucratic red tape, if we've created a system that makes it hard for innovators to do their thing, then we're not going to get the results that we want. I mean, the whole debate about climate is you can substitute the word carbon for climate. Everybody will agree there's more carbon in the atmosphere than there used to be. So how do we get the carbon out? How do we reduce the amounts we're putting in, and how do we take out some that's up there? Nobody's created any new carbon. Same amount of carbon that was here thousands of years ago. We just traded places with it. A lot more of it's in the atmosphere than it used to be. So how do we get that out? How do we store it? And that's why I'm so so bullish on trees, not just because I'm a forester, but they are the carbon eating and carbon capture system that's been around for a long, long time.
Well, and that's we spent a lot of time in Origin and talking about that. I know that's going to come in the rollout as well in the coming weeks and months. But obviously, there hasn't been universal praise and acclaim for the House GOP's work. I want to mention a couple of critiques that have come out that I think are indicative of reactions that I hear, and just give you a quick chance to respond to it. So in the Washington Post, Representative Don Beyer was quoted as saying, he welcomes the efforts of anyone, regardless of party, who is willing to tackle climate change. But on its face, he says, this plan does not look like a serious proposal. Most people understand that a serious climate solution requires a shift toward cleaner sources of energy. But the Republicans apparently want to take us in the opposite direction, with more dependence on dangerous, dirty energy sources. And then Congresswoman Khanna said, this is just a big oil wish list. So how do you respond to those critiques that your colleagues are leveling?
Well, it goes back to the memes and the talking points and the headlines, and really not understanding the issues and understanding what it takes to supply energy, just the energy demands that we have here at home, the complexity of that, and just thinking that you can automatically go out and change to non-carbon emitting energy sources. Go talk to people at the National Research Labs that look at this stuff all the time and ask them how quickly we can wean ourselves from all fossil fuels. And if they're intellectually honest, they'll tell you we can't, that we don't have the grid to support that. We can't afford to build the grid that would support it. And we can't generate the power with the technology that we've got right now to meet the demands. So there's the reality of the science and physics that goes into having an energy system. And that's why we're saying we have to take what we've got and transition from one point to the next and use the resources that we're blessed with and constantly work on how to make them cleaner, safer, and healthier as we move forward. If somebody can show me a plan to do that overnight even if you took out the part about not bankrupting the country and doing it overnight, I don't think it's physically possible to do it. So I've often said that Democrats have an agenda. They don't have a plan.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Well, and to your point, too, about transitioning to different sources of energy is we don't have access to the critical minerals we need to scale up some of the renewables like we could, because the left has not wanted to access those minerals. So it's a chaotic sort of, as you said, it's not a plan. It's just an ideological agenda.
Yeah. And you bring up a great point about minerals and elements. We're blessed beyond reason with the amount of natural resources we have. But there's this idea now that we're going to mine them, just not here in America. So we're offshoring all of that as well. I heard an interesting statistic that if we converted all of like 1 year's of production of electric or of all vehicles to electric vehicles, that we would run out of copper before we could even build 1 year's supply of vehicles right now. So we've got the copper deposits here in the U.S. We're just taking a hands-off approach. And that's not just me talking. Look at the Twin Metals project in northern Minnesota. The Biden administration just shut that down again.
Yeah, it doesn't. That just does not make any sense. So another issue you've worked on, dealing with sort of natural solutions and or natural resources, but also the shell game that gets played is Russia. And of course, it's well known that Europe's dependence, especially on Russian oil, helped lubricate Putin's war machine. And I think there's been somewhat of an awakening and a move away from that, which has been encouraging. But you put out a bill called the No Timber from Tyrants Act. Tell us a little bit about what that bill does, why it's important, and where it stands right now.
Yeah, well, I think it was obvious that to Americans when they realized, I mean, we've known that we've increased, I think, threefold the amount of energy we've been buying from Russia in the past couple of years. But we also buy a lot of other things. Russia's whole economy is dependent upon exporting of resources, and we buy a lot of timber from them as well. We buy a lot of uranium from Russia and Kazakhstan, all things that we could be producing here. At the same time that we're importing timber from Russia and Belarus, we could be producing it off of our own lands and actually making our national forest healthier. So the No Timber from Tyrants Act just simply said that we would not import any more timber products from Russia, and we would offset that amount with harvest off of our national forest, which would still be way below the authorized level of harvest off of our national forest. That you talk about a shell game. Every year there's a target put out on what we're going to harvest off of our national forest to make the forest healthy. And we fall way, way short of that every year. That's why over time the fuels continue to build up and we see catastrophic wildfires. So think of all that. Think of all that smoke in the West actually being tubifores to offset wood coming from Russia.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I was actually in Warsaw, Poland, a few weeks ago, and met with quite a few members from the parliament in Ukraine. And one of the points they made is they're actually planting trees now, even as the war is going on. They're recognizing that it's planting trees is vital to offset what is happening. But it's good for one of the ways you can have joyful defiance in the face of right. an authoritarian dictator. I think that is really a beautiful sort of story, and it speaks to their resilience and determination and long range thinking.
Yeah, and you know it's amazing. You'll see the pictures of the war torn areas, the places that have been hit really hard, the death and the destruction, and then you'll see a picture of people going about normal life. And I think we forget that, in the midst of all the war, that there's still areas where people are trying to live a normal life, and they are planting trees. Hopefully they're planting crops as the grains that come from Ukraine are extremely important to feeding the world.
Got it. Well, Congressman, thanks so much for your time. I know you've got to run to another meeting, but appreciate again your work and leadership, and we look forward to covering all the great work the task force is doing, and wish you the best, and hope to have you on again at some point this year.
Thank you, John. Always great to be with you.
Thanks, Congressman.